I was in my hotel several miles away from where the blast occurred, and I heard a loud boom, and it was obvious that it wasn't a sonic boom from an aircraft or one of the missiles coming in. We've had some missiles being fired by the Taliban recently, but it was just too big for that. And I knew that there had been some sort of explosion. I thought that the possibility that perhaps an ammunition dump had gone up or that it might be a blast of this type.
You have since gone to the scene. What can you tell me?
It was a scene of chaos, as you might imagine. Firemen were on the scene putting out the blaze. There were people wandering around, bloodied and dazed. This was perhaps from the Taliban point of view, the most effective time and effective place to do this. It was a very crowded place right at the beginning of the work week, 8:30 on a Saturday morning in Kabul. And this is a place where you have both a lot of government employees and NATO military personnel, and as well as children who hang out there to sell chewing gum to Westerners. So it was obviously timed and placed to ensure maximum casualties.
This was in a very heavily fortified area of Kabul. What kind of security did they manage to breach, the suicide bomber managed to breach, in order to set off this explosion so close to what we are told was the front gate to NATO?
That is what is really extraordinary about this, that they had to get through several cordons of security. And even when I'm traveling around town to get into the inner circles, so to speak, where there are the major embassies and the NATO and U.S. military headquarters, as well as the government ministries, there will be policemen who will check you out and will ask for some sort of identification and ask you where you are going. So they obviously had to get through several layers of security to get to this spot.
You were in Kabul, in Afghanistan, to report on the presidential elections, which are coming up next week. You've talked to people. How concerned are they about this upsurge in violence?
There is a concern about security, and a lot of parts of the country are a lot more prone to this sort of violence than Kabul. But I think it had been widely anticipated that the Taliban would try something, and there's a lot of concern that there may be further attempts before Election Day.
Let's look at the campaigning leading up to the election. You've covered campaigns all over the world, the United States, Japan, various countries. How do you describe this campaign? Did it seem to be a free-flowing affair, or were the candidates fairly restricted in what they can do and what they could say?
No, there hasn't been restrictions necessarily in what the candidates can say. Afghanistan has a free press, and there's quite lively coverage in the media here, especially on radio and television, and there's a lot of use of media. There are also billboards all over the capital, and we have a tremendous number of candidates running for president. We started out above 40. We're down to about 35, 36 right now, and we've got four, as a matter of fact, who are pulling right in the double digits. So although President Karzai clearly has a lead, and it's really a question of whether at this point he wins on the first ballot or we go to a second round, it is a lively campaign. And now some of the candidates have felt perhaps for security reasons they can't go to certain parts of the country, but it's spirited and lively and democratic as any campaign I've ever seen anywhere. The real problem, though, is the Taliban, who are vowing to disrupt the election and are threatening voters. And in many parts of the country, people will not be allowed to vote because the ballot boxes won't get there, or they won't get back to be counted, or voters will just be too intimidated to go to the polls.